The numbers told the story they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Justin Sweetelson filling in for Gil Alexander today, tomorrow, and then Sunday. I go back to the night shift on Cashing Out. We make our return because football season is upon us. As always, hanging out with Kelly Bidlin at the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas. I forced Kelly to do a lot of college football today because it is my passion. It's something I love. It's something that became a fixture in my life when I moved to the South in 2003. When I was reading a lot of this next guy. He is Mark Schlabaugh, ESPN.com writer, covers golf, covers college football better than anyone in the game. And just to make Mark feel old for a second, he gave me an award in 2008 when I was at Valdosta State for the second best sports story among the college newspapers in the state. I wrote at the Spectator, Valdosta State. I heard him speak. He did an amazing job. It always like motivated me.
Second best? You couldn't just lie about it?
I won second. I mean, that's reality. When you're at Valdosta State, you're up against it, man. I'm not Georgia. I don't go to the Grady School of Journalism. And Mark Schlabaugh joins us now here on the Progressive Guest Line. Mark, thanks for doing this, man. I really appreciate it. And no one's more locked in on the University of Georgia than you are. And that's where I want to start here, because Kirby Smart is a guy that I believe in and year out. Now, the roster outside of Gunnar Stockton, a few pieces at running back, there's not a lot of familiarity this year, but I believe in him more than a hyped up Texas team. What's the level of confidence you feel right now coming out of Athens?
I think he likes this team. And thanks for making me old, by the way. Was Chris Hatcher about off the state when you were down there?
What's that?
Was Chris Hatcher the head coach down there when you were down there?
Chris Hatcher, I was there for his last year in 05, and then I was there for the 07 title under David Dean. And I think somewhere Buster Faulkner is still telling people how much he hates me as he takes over as the OC at Florida.
Now, I think, you know, going back to your question on Georgia, I think Kirby really likes this team. I think he really likes his defense. I think it's as close to those 22 defenses that he's had. I don't think you're ever going to see a defense at any school that good ever again, just because the circumstances have changed and you can't stockpile five stars on top of five stars anymore because they don't want to sit in red shirt and wait their turn. I mean, that team had Jordan Davis and Jalen Carter running second team on the defensive line, which is insane. But they got to find a pass rusher. They get Gabe Harris back. He was hurt at the end of last year. They brought a kid in from Auburn. He got hurt in the spring. He's out. Elijah Griffin is kind of the same mold of those guys I talked about to be an All-American. Linebackers, I think Raylan Wilson, Chris Cole are ready to take off. Ellis Robinson's a stud on the back end. Will Muschamp has told me two or three times that DeMello Jones, the other corner, is probably better than Robinson. So defensively, I think they're going to be one of the best in the country. Offensively, Gunner's played really well in his first year as a starter. He's got to throw the ball over the middle. They've probably got 10 tight ends that are playing the NFL, it seems like. They got to get those guys involved in the passing game more. And the offensive line is going to be good. I mean, Dontrell Glover and Juan Gaston played a lot last year. Two freshmen, they're back. Drew Bobo's back from a foot injury that kept him out of the playoff. And then Ernest Green is moving back to the left tackle, so I think they feel good about where they're at up front. Got to have some young receivers step up. Isaiah Canyon, transfer from Georgia Tech, a big target. He's got to be good, and he's looked good so far. But schedule's not as tough as it's been, but they got to go to Alabama and Ole Miss, I think, in the SEC. So they'll be right there in the hunt.
Yeah, Mark, the odds tell us it's Georgia, Texas at the top. Do you see it that way, kind of a tier above everybody else in the SEC, or is there another school or two that you would throw right in the mix there at the top?
No, I like Texas. I'm with you, though. I've seen Kirby do it. I got to see Sark do it. He's never done it at USC or, you know, Texas. They bring in Cam Coleman, who I thought was the best player in the transfer portal. I mean, he was all world with me and you playing quarterback at Auburn the last couple of years. You know, and they got Wingo on the other side. Ryan Wingo, really good receiver. I think Arch will take a step this year. Thought he was really good down the stretch last season. They got to replace some guys on the O-line and a few guys on the D-line. But, you know, Sark's got a Georgia problem. He's got a Kirby problem right now. He hasn't been able to beat him. So what's he do? He goes out and hires Will Muschamp, who you know, was on Kirby's staff for those two national titles. So we'll see how much better they are on defense. Talking to Will over the summer, he feels good about the secondary, a little thin at linebacker, but, you know, Colin Simmons is a guy that, erases a lot. I'm really curious to see how good LSU is because, you know, obviously bringing Lane and, spent a ton in the portal. Ole Miss, I think he's got two of the best players in the league, if not the country, in Trinidad Chambliss and, Kawan Lacy, the tailback. They've got some holes to fill on defense, too. You know, how good is, Pete Golding? In his first full year, they brought in John David Baker, the OC from East Carolina, who was there before to replace Charlie Weiss Jr. So, yeah, those are the two big ones. Alabama, I love Kalen DeBoer. They got to figure out a way to run the ball. They were so soft on the offensive line last year. He fired his O-line coach, brought in a new one. They got four new starters up front, and it looks like Keelan Russell would probably end up being the guy. I wouldn't be surprised to see him go with Austin Mack early just because of his experience in the offense. But if they struggle to run the ball again, I think they're going to need Russell's athleticism back there. And who am I missing? A&M. I think Mike Elko is one of the top 5 to 10 football coaches in America right now. And if they can get Marcel Reed to cut down on turnovers, I think A&M is going to be really good too.
Yeah, it feels like everyone's sleeping on A&M despite being a playoff team a year ago. Mark Schlabach is our guest, ESPN.com college football reporter. We were just talking in our previous segment, Mark, where we have an article up at VSiN.com. People are not betting Indiana despite being the national champ, which is very weird. Even when there's, you know, big turnover, people tend to believe in the national champion to at least have a chance at repeating. Now, they look like a playoff team. Hoover's in. Cignetti keeps both of his coordinators. But does it surprise you in today's college football landscape that somehow Cignetti is not totally being bought into by the betting public from our end?
Yeah. I mean, because it's Indiana, right?
Yeah.
I grew up in Indiana. I grew up 30 minutes from South Bend as a kid and was a big Notre Dame fan growing up. And then I tell everybody I grew up. You know, it's just nobody really believed in him until he, you know, won the Big Ten championship last year, in my opinion. But I think his process, their ability to evaluate transfers has been remarkable. I mean, and they obviously know how to coach because, you know, they brought in all those guys from James Madison and, won a national championship and went 16-0. And it's not like he was bringing them in from Michigan or somewhere. So I like the program they've already developed. I agree. Hoover, you know, big arm. He's got to cut down on the turnovers. He turned it over way too much at TCU the last couple of years. I know they really like Nick Marsh, the transfer from Michigan State at receiver. Charlie Becker's All-American. He's a stud. Getting Carter Smith back, the left tackle, is huge. Bunch of holes on defense. You know, getting the Stephen Daly back for a fifth year. I think he was hurt during the playoff last year. He was their best edge guy. You know, getting him back, I think, is pretty big. But, you know, schedule, he catches a lot of flack for his non-conference schedule, and it's well-deserved because it's an absolute joke. But he's figured out how to make it work. They got North Texas, Howard, and Western Kentucky this year. Play Ohio State at home, SC at home, and then at Rutgers, Nebraska, Washington on the road in Big Ten play. So I think you're going to be right back up there. I think that I had them in the top five, but I think that's what, at least where they should start.
Mark, we got about 2 minutes left. You mentioned being a Notre Dame fan growing up. They are the biggest favorite to make the playoff this year at minus 800, wow, meaning you have to lay 800 to win 100 here. They're the second shot on the board to win the national title. How do you think this group responds from being held out a year ago from the college football playoff?
Well, I mean, hopefully they'll show up for the games. You know, I love Marcus Freeman. I think he's done a hell of a job. I think C.J. Carr is another quarterback, kind of like Stockton, that could really make a jump up in his second season. They got to replace both running backs, so we'll see if Williams and Nolan James Jr. can step up. You know, they're solid on the offensive line, bringing Knapp and the other right guard back. Defensively, you know, I think they've been really good. I was trying to think of their schedule because
BYU and Miami are the big boys. Those are the two big boys.
Yeah,
they're
the big boys. Yeah, I mean, I think they're top 10. I think the way he's recruited, I think he might have the number one class in America right now.
Yeah.
In our rankings, you know, they just opened that new $100 million facility. He's got it rolling and got to the championship game 2 years ago. So he's done a really nice job. As good as Brian Kelly did there, I think Freeman has taken it to another level, and they should be right there in the hunt.
Yeah.
A little more on the back end of that defense is a stud too.
Yeah, and he just churns out the defensive players. And then C.J. Carr is probably the best quarterback we've seen for Notre Dame in a very long time. Mark, really appreciate the time. Love reading you over at ESPN.com. Thrilled to chat with you here on the program. Thanks for doing this, and have a great football season, man. Looking forward to chatting throughout the year.
Go Blazers, man. Thank you.
Yeah, go Blazers. Let's go. The title of the article that I came in second place for was from Buckeyes to Blazers. From Buckeyes and Blazers to VSU, from Buckeyes and Gators.
It rolls off the tongue.
Yeah, from Buckeyes and Gators to VSU Blazers. Because after we won a national title, everyone started transferring to Valdosta State from D1s. Guys who were on big programs to get a chance to play.
I remember those years.
So we had two kids from Florida, one from Ohio State, and they had played in the national title the year prior, a few years prior. Now they were on Valdosta State.
I remember a few Florida State castoffs ending up over there.
Fabian Walker, national champion in 2004 for the Valdosta State Blazers. There is a new highest paid running back in the league. It's not who you think. We'll tell you who it is coming up next on A Numbers Game.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a numbers game. Dustin Sweetelson filling in here for Gil Alexander. Don't worry, y'all. Gil's back, we think, on Monday.
We think. We'll see.
At what point do you start to confirm that?
Oh, he'll be back. You know what? Gil would let me know. He would text me and be like, by the way, I'm just not coming back ever.
Well, not coming back ever. I'm talking about when's he going to decide the vacation's over, because the summer of Swedes ending Sunday, as we've acknowledged. I go back to cashing out. But when does the world tour of Gil Alexander, who could pop up anywhere like Carmen San Diego, end?
He should be back. But yeah, will I be surprised if he's like, yeah, but I'm going to ask about doing another week or two?
No, that would not surprise me at all.
I wouldn't either. That's now, with Danny Higgins returned from Montana, I've got open-ended questions about my entire show here.
Oh, yeah, you're working like it's COVID times here.
That's right.
You're a totally remote member of the team.
I really am. Me and the crew, we always got each other's back.
Can I tell you this? I'm so anti-Zoom culture right now.
Me too.
I'm planning a wedding, and they all want to Zoom, which I hate, because you know what happens is you can just schedule them going, it's not a big deal. We'll pop on a Zoom. It's not a big deal. We'll pop on a Zoom. Well, guess what? We had like three Zooms yesterday.
Yeah, and then it's how many people were involved. It always takes longer than you think it's going to.
Then the problem is now I have like another Zoom today, and then there's another Zoom there. How about this? Let's inconvenience ourselves, and if it's worth it, we meet in person.
Yep.
Right? Right.
Yep.
If I think you're worth the time, you think I'm worth the time, we'll meet in person.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But this idea of like Zoom is okay, I'd like to go back to the old days.
There's also like if you need something from me, just call me. Like just call me, text me. Like, do we need to plan a time for six of us to get on and have the conversation?
All right. It's time to talk a little SEC football. I'm fired up for this conversation. Fozzie Whitaker is going to join us here. Former NFL running back, ESPN college football analyst. You can find him on X over at Fozzie Witt. There. And Fozzie, thanks for doing this, man. And I want to start with your alma mater in Texas, because the expectations, I mean, you know this, they're always high, but with NIL, the transfer portal, the return of Arch Manning, feels like Steve Sarkisian has a lot of pressure on him this year. They're the third betting favorite in the market to win the national title at 7.5 to 1. What does Steve Sarkisian have to do in your eyes for this to be a successful season?
Yeah, number one, I appreciate you having me on, man. It's been miraculous talking about football, just going through ESPN college football seminar the past 2 days. We are almost there, almost to the finish line. But for Texas fans, graduate and alum like myself, Steve Sarkisian has to win it all. I think that's the expectation. That's the goal. That's what he's worked toward striving for. That's why the kids that he brought in, whether it was through the recruiting ranks or the transfer portal, that's why they are here in 2026 for this football season, is to bring home the big trophy. And you don't make the moves that he did without realizing those expectations as well. Year number six for him, his resume has spoken for itself, but Texas still hasn't gotten over the hump of, number one, winning the SEC title, which is a big deal, and then number two, making it to the championship game, and then number three, winning that national championship. And he's made great strides since he's taken over the program in Austin, but I think still that final expectation is to be able to win it all. And I think more pressure was added because of what Kurt Cignetti has done at Indiana over the past two seasons, especially going undefeated a year ago and doing the probably most improbable thing that we've ever seen in modern day college sports, or really any sport. That's where the pressure is added on for Steve Sarkisian, who's now made, you know, these offseason moves to bring in a Cam Coleman, to bring in Rasheem Biles, to bring in, you know, all of the help on the offensive line and in the secondary to be able to make sure that Texas won't be inadequate whenever their time is called to be able to try to win a national championship this upcoming football season.
Bozzie Whitaker is our guest, former Longhorn, ESPN college football analyst. It is wild to say it out loud. In an era where you can spend as much money as you want to put together a college football team, Indiana's won a title before the Texas Longhorns have won one. Talk to me about Arch Manning, man, because I got to tell you, there were moments last year where I saw what everyone else saw with the big recruit and him being one of the favorites for the Heisman Trophy right now, but there was also some very weird down moments. Do you put that on Arch Manning, and do you believe that he is rightfully up there as one of the betting favorites to win the Heisman this year?
I do think he deserves to be one of the betting favorites with the Heisman. How he started his season last year as a first-year starter was not truly indicative of where he finished last year. And I think that's a product of what Steve Sarkisian believes in who he has as a recruit, his ability to manage and develop quarterbacks, not just year over year, but within the course of the season. We saw a different maturation process happen with Arch Manning. And like you mentioned, it was not all glamour and glitz from week one. You look at last year against Ohio State, going to the Shoe and playing the game that they did, it looked very, very questionable about how good Arch Manning was going to be. You look at the Florida game as well, another game that Texas lost, and those questions popped up and surrounded him again. You start going past that, and you start kind of realizing the potential that Arch Manning could have. And then he started realizing that potential towards the end of the season. The Vanderbilt game is a good example. The Texas A&M game is another great example. Even the bowl game against Michigan at the end of the year, that's another great example of starting the season one way and then finishing it strong in another way. And then the statistical categories that he was able to be a part of, whether it was passing touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, total yardage, yards per rush, those started to accumulate as well. And I think that's really a hats-off job that Steve Sarkisian was able to take a guy that was never started at the collegiate level before on the stage that he started on it, with the pressure and everything that garners around having a Manning last name, and then getting him settled in throughout the course of the season and allowing him to play to his strengths and become a better version of himself. If he's able to pick up where he left off at the end of last season against that Michigan team, that's where the Heisman odds, that's where the hype around Texas competing for a SEC and national championship can come around, and you added some more flavor around him in the transfer portal. That's where you start to see Arch Manning really realize that potential that so many people had tabbed on him. And I think that's where you're going to see his best increase year over year, is how he started the last year versus where he's going to start this year. I think he'll be markedly better than what we saw on display in Ohio State week one in 2025.
Man, I'm be rooting for Arch this year. I hope he crushes. I hope he crushes, Fozzie. Okay, looking at the rest of the SEC quick. We got about 2 minutes left here with you, Fozzie. Georgia, Texas, the short shots here. They're the favorites in the betting odds. And then we jump down to A&M, Alabama, LSU. How wide open do you think this conference is, or is it really Georgia, Texas right at the top?
No, I think it's still wide open. Nobody has really given, in my opinion, Ole Miss the most benefit of the doubt. You look at the coaches poll, you look at the media poll from SEC Media Day, the top 25. I think they bring back the best quarterback in the conference in Trinidad Chambliss, and then you bring in probably the best running back in the conference as well in Kewon Lacy. Obviously, the transfer portal and the whole Lane Kiffin saga happened, and everything has now kind of settled in a little bit. But I think Ole Miss is right there in the mix to be able to compete for a SEC championship. You mentioned Alabama. Nobody's really given Alabama a chance. And that's scary to say in this time with Kalen DeBoer and his track record. All he does is win. It doesn't matter where he's at. And then we forget, like, although they lost the SEC championship game, they made it to the SEC championship game. And then they also won against Oklahoma round one of the playoffs. And so being able to build off of that, that Alabama team will be in contention. New look LSU with Lane Kiffin, new quarterback. Like, I think he'll have them in a markedly better place. So there are so many teams that I think will impact the SEC title race. I do believe it's more wide open than just Georgia and Texas.
Fozzie, you're awesome, man. Would love to chat with you again throughout the college football season. We'll see you on ESPN throughout the year and on X at Fozzie Witt. Thanks so much for the time, man. Looking forward to chatting again.
I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on. And football is back tonight.
We made it.
NFL, baby. Let's go.
We made it. Let's go. We survived. Oh, survive in advance. Thank God for that World Cup. I got to tell you.
Yeah, for real.
You know, we should do that every year. Yeah, we should do something.
Really
some,
should.
We should have some soccer every year to look forward to. But as Fozzie alluded to, football season, it's right around the corner. Technically, some would say it starts tonight. And just like the players, you need your reps before week one. The Sharps has a free weekly league that lets you practice the same football plays you already study. Prop, sides, totals, combos. Everyone starts with 10,000 chips. Build your stack, climb the leaderboard, and sharpen your reads before the season kicks off. Enter at jointhesharps.com or scan the QR code on the screen and use code VSIN50 for a 50% deposit bonus up to $100. That's jointhesharps.com and use promo code VSIN50. When we return on the program, the Hall of Fame game is here. How we want to attack that and which quarterback depth charts jump out to us to bet on in the NFL preseason.
Numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Dustin Sweetelson in for Gil Alexander. August the 6th be with you on a Thursday. Football is back. You could smell it in the air. Maybe that's just Kelly Bidlin that I'm getting a whiff of right now. How are we feeling today?
I'm okay today.
Are you a Cologne guy?
No, yeah, but not like every day.
I'm a Cologne guy every day.
Every day?
See, you're skinny now, so you don't worry about this. I have a fear
like,
that...
Like you put some on before you come in here?
Yes.
Really? Okay. Yeah, see, like that's what I'm... Yeah, I don't usually do that.
I also have very strong deodorant that smells very good as well. And sometimes I mix in an aftershave that's really strong. I have this thing where as a fat...
You could go... You'll go aftershave and cologne?
Yes.
Interesting. Okay.
As a fat guy, I think the assumption by most people is that I smell bad. Or that fat people smell bad. So I like to dispel the myth by going over the top. Now, I probably use too much cologne. I'm one of those people.
No, you're okay. No. It's not insulting my senses.
Yeah,
right
so
now.
Today it's a little Tom Ford. Usually it's Valentino. Occasionally it's a little Polo Blue. I'm a little bougie with the cologne.
Yeah, I got a Polo Blue at home. Today.
Polo Blue is such a good go-to.
I think it's Polo Blue,
Polo Black. I've never done the Polo Red. Red's not really my thing. Again, big guy. I look like Clifford the Big Red Dog if I wear red. But see, you're skinny now. You don't have to worry about these misconceptions
no,
about
never,
big,
I've never
big people.
Even, I've never even, have I ever even seen Polo Red? I don't
it's
think
a,
I
It's
have.
A red one. Yeah. I've, you know what it is? Any cologne that came out like after I was in high school, it's not really on my radar.
No, it's, oh my God. Like it's my, so
my
sadly
go,
that.
My
yeah.
go-to is a cologne I got when I was 12 years old, Hugo Boss.
Yeah, I've got that at home too.
Now, as a Jewish person, it's problematic to support Hugo Boss. I'm just going to point that out there.
Hugo Boss, the one or one or something like that.
I do the regular Hugo Boss, but it's my favorite cologne. It's a scent that takes me back in time. And
the only two I have at home right now, you just named.
Really?
Hugo Boss and Polo Blue.
Oh wow, so we're pretty similar there.
Those are the only two.
Occasionally,
I don't need a bunch, man. You know, bottles of cologne are like so many other items in your house where you're like, do you know how long it's going to take me to go through this entire bottle?
But I have two problems. One, the TikTok shop, and then another one I'm going to bring up with buying random stuff. TikTok shop will pop up with like Hollister from when we were in high school or Abercrombie Fierce from when we were in high school, and it takes me back.
Yeah.
I will buy it just to spray it for nostalgia.
That was TikTok shop.
On TikTok, they sell things.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's the other thing I'm going to admit that I really hope my fiance is not watching. And she knows some of it.
I hope she is. No.
There are these sports memorabilia auction websites, and I'm addicted to just like popping in and being like, that shouldn't be that cheap. Let me buy it.
Sure. Yeah.
Well, here's the problem. Package showed up to the house about a week ago, and it was a Lawrence Taylor framed jersey in a display with pictures and everything. That's fine.
Yeah, you were excited about that. I got it
all in all with all the fees, like $180.
Yeah,
that's a good deal. The problem is what also came with it. Two things that I actually had no care about, but I wanted to see, like, hey, if it's $12, $30, I have a Kenny Pickett signed football.
Okay, that's funny.
That was like $30.
That's really funny.
And I have a Connor McGovern, Buffalo Bills, Go Bills written on it, signed football I got for $13. I'm bringing it up because it was just like, oh, it's $13. Why not get it? And I can just put it in my display behind me. I want to sign football. It's kind of cool. I have no connection to either of those two, either of those teams. I don't know why I have them. And I have not explained it to my fiance why they're currently sitting on my bookshelf.
I think the other part of this is funny to me. Is okay. I am not going to judge you at all. I've never been to the auctions. I love that stuff too. I just can't imagine me ever bidding on something where I'd be like either of those players. Sorry, and McGovern's really good, but those aren't exactly appreciating in value over time.
Like, no. it was more just like I'm trying to get my setup done at my new house when I'm going to do more hits during the day because I'm on the night show, so I can be more available. And I want a couple signed balls. Like I have a signed Tony Kukoc basketball from the Bills.
That's cool because he was one of those dudes.
Yes, but
right?
Like Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett. I ordered it
on purpose.
You ordered that on purpose.
There was like 5 minutes left in the auction. It was going for, I think, probably $27. I said, I'll bid $30 on that, thinking someone will come over the top. Nope, Kenny Pickett. No one wanted to spend more than $30 on your signature.
Hey, nothing ties a room together better than a signed Kenny Pickett football. Everybody knows that.
I'm going to do this. I don't know if I'm allowed to do this. You can have one of those footballs. If you can send me a tweet or you can email cashingout@vsin.com. Why you really want either the Kenny Pickett or the Connor McGovern. I'm going to keep one of them. But whoever gives me the best case, you'll give me your info. I will pay for the shipping. I will ship you the football as a listener of VSiN. But you got to tell me a story. Why the team matters to you. Why the player matters to you. Why you want it. Because clearly I have no use for it.
And then I think they need to like and subscribe to the Cashing Out podcast.
Oh, I assume they're doing that already would be my
thought. Whenever that comes back. Is it still a podcast out there? It's probably still a podcast.
I don't think we have a podcast.
Okay.
I think we're just part of Best Bets.
Okay.
Which is available wherever you get your podcast. Cashing Out is returning, though. It is this Sunday, August 9th. We are on from 10 p.m. to 1 a.m. Eastern time. Then Monday through Thursday, 11 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern time. It's Cashing Out. It's me. It's me. It's that S-W-E-D-E. That's what I used to say back in the day.
I like that.
I brought up Kenny Pickett because Kenny Pickett's about to start a game tonight in football.
He is.
Hall of Fame game. Carson Beck, Kenny Pickett. That is the matchup we all came to see.
Absolutely. Jordan Smith not going to get first round leader for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Missed a lot of birdie putts. 500 par.
I always know Kelly's sweating something because in between me speaking, instead of looking at the camera, he's looking at the golf and like there's a look of concern on his face.
It's right down in that corner. Yeah, if I'm looking over that way.
So
sorry, Hall of Fame game.
Hall of Fame game.
Yep, cut you off.
Technically, it'll end up being Carson Beck versus Haynes King at some point, which last year in the ACC would be a tremendous matchup. However, it's the NFL. Carolina's -1.5. Total's 35.5. Dave Canales, or we're seeing ones out there.
No,
right?
It is. This is, I can't believe how much this has moved in an hour and a half. We are
Pick 'em.
A lot of ones. A lot of ones, couple pick-ems, couple pick one and a half, but this total continues to go down. There is not a 35 and a half on my odds screen anymore.
No.
There's only a couple 35s, and there are a lot of 34 and a halves and 134 that I'm staring at right behind us at Circa.
Well, I think it's going to keep moving because it does feel like the preseason is more of a copycat betting strategy where people try to chase onto the steam. At some point, it's going to get to, I feel like this probably closes, what, 33? 33 and a half?
I don't know. It's already so low. Like, this is, it is what, moved 35 and a half to 34, though, in the past 18 hours? Yeah, maybe, Dustin. I'm never as certain with stuff like this where I'm like, the guy at home rushing home to bet football, to watch football for the first time this season, is rushing to put an under bet in. Like, no, this is all like sharp money, right?
But at the same time, I do feel like there's a sect of people that are waiting to see how the market reacts. They're going, hold on, this thing's already moved down. I want to jump on it moving down and go under. And then people are going to say, hold on, well, the steam's moving in that way. I'm just going to keep going under. It's the preseason.
Right.
And the basic thought process is under when we think about the preseason here. I am on a little parlay I cooked up earlier. I told you guys it pays 4-1. We're going with the first half over 17 and a half, the full game under 35. It's 4-1. I think if we get scoring, it's early by motivated teams trying to show what they have, because you have a guy in Carson Beck fighting to take Jacoby Brissett's job at some point. Kenny Pickett wants to be on this roster, wants to be a guy who gets a chance if Bryce Young struggles during the year. Dave Canales, by the way, 0-6 against the spread as a head coach in the NFL preseason. And over at VSiN.com, Steve Mackinnon, our trends guru with all the data, he said this at 36 and a half where it opened was the highest posted total since 2012. It's now down to 34 and a half. So, Circa just went to 34. Circa just went to 34, Kelly, as I was speaking.
It was 34 when I said it a minute ago.
I wasn't listening. So in my eyes, it was 34 when I just saw it flash on my screen, okay? Underdog 7-4 straight up, 8-2-1 against the spread in the Hall of Fame game. Going back to 2013, the over's on a 4-0 run, but that's after it went 7-2 to the under the previous 9 seasons. And if this line flips, if Arizona winds up being favored, thought this was worth bringing up, the team who the line has moved to as the favorite is only 2-5-1 against the spread in the Hall of Fame game since 2015. So that is worth noting here.
Yeah, that's interesting. So that would be a be careful where the steam is pushing these.
And totals 34 or higher, the under 6-1. Maybe here's what happened. Maybe all these people betting on it read Steve Mackinnon's article at VSiN.com, and that's why now we're getting a lot of under money.
Yeah, absolutely. Could be.
How about this quote from Carson Beck? Asked if he was nervous before his first NFL start, quote, I don't think so. I think the last time I was nervous was when I was 8 years old, maybe. It's a game at the end of the day. I have the opportunity to go out there and have fun and play the game that I love. I respect that confidence for a guy like Carson Beck.
I mean, right? Wow. For the different positions he was put in throughout his collegiate career to never once have been nervous during any of that? Okay.
Well, I think, you know, off the
That's
field,
some confidence,
he went through a messy breakup last year. I think if someone ridicules you in social media publicly after like a breakup, I feel like nothing should really get to you after that.
Those girls still wrestling?
They were wrestling. They were basketball players.
Basketball players. Yeah. No, but didn't they start?
They might have done WWE
or something.
I think every influencer just makes that shift at some point because it's a good little paycheck, and then you pop back to doing what you're doing.
So that wasn't like, I thought that was like a full time thing they were doing.
I'm not doing a bit. The one, the Cavender twin who's dating Jake Ferguson, the tight end for the Cowboys.
I didn't know that.
He has a hilarious channel where she makes him sandwiches and he rates them and he hates every sandwich she makes, even though they all look pretty good.
Okay, that's fantastic.
It's a funny bit.
That's a good idea.
It's a funny bit. The Indiana Hoosiers are defending national champions. Matt Eumanns wrote up an article in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide examining why people don't trust them to get back to the promised land. We'll look at the Hoosiers in the Big Ten next.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
It is a numbers game. Dustin Sweetelson alongside Kelly Bidlin, Circus Sportsbook, downtown Las Vegas. Vibes are high. Scene's popping. People all over the place here with Bet Bash in town. Not right now. I meant like later today.
Yeah, but like, no, it did get popping though. I wanted to check.
Is there no one on a Zoom call today in the sports book behind us? We were watching a guy in a meeting yesterday, literally like 15 feet below us.
Great. I wish we were on for one segment longer yesterday. Just so we could have played out your idea.
We need a mobile cam.
Yeah, we do.
You need to let me be on the move, people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't move that fast, so you probably
I've said for years, I want a green screen. Really want to be able to show off our graphics.
Wait, this is a green screen, but don't tell people that.
Oh, yeah, right.
They're going to find out. We're not actually in the sports book.
Downstairs.
Wonder how long you get away from that. That's like my least favorite thing in broadcasting. No offense to anyone who does it, but like the bad software that people have where they buy the green screen, they think they're going to trick us, and then every time they move, you just catch like the little edges. Yeah. I'm like, dude, just like paint the wall a color or something. I don't know. Do something different.
It's not
here.
That bad.
All right, baseball today. We have neglected the card. I do have a few plays that I threw up at VSiN.com/picks. And I want to begin with a player prop because I don't really understand it. And that game's starting in about 25, 30 minutes here. It's the Mets at the Guardians. Nolan McClain faces Foster Griffin. McClain, 1.49 ERA his last six starts, 42 strikeouts and 36 in the third innings. He has a 2.29 road ERA as well. K rate's not as good, but still over one an inning, 65 and 59 innings. His opponent batting average is actually better on the road at home. I've been burnt betting Cleveland the last couple nights, fading the Mets. Has not worked out for me. I like their addition of Foster Griffin, who makes his first start as a Guardian. He's off his worst start since May. Six earned, 5 1/3 at Atlanta on Friday. Mets got him for 5 earned in 5 innings back on May 19th. I think the Mets finished the job here. I'd lean plus 115, but my official play is Nolan McClain over 5.5 strikeouts at minus 137. I'm sorry, that is a crazy number for a guy who's capable of double digits anytime he's on the mound. It hasn't gone that way lately, but he has cleared 5.5 in 4 straight starts for him. And the one like outlier in this run where going back, if we go back to June 12th, he's only had one where he hasn't cleared 5.5, and that was on the road at Atlanta against that offense. I love Nolan McClain to go over 5.5 Ks today.
That is interesting. Is he normally priced at that? I don't even know if you know, but is that normally what his strikeout props at? And
no,
then is
he's
it
normally
just
a
the...
six, he's normally a 6.5, 7.5 guy. Cleveland doesn't strike out a ton. That's probably baked into this, and their lineup has improved since the deadline, but I don't care. That's a really, really good. He struck out 7 against the Dodgers. He had 10 at the Phillies a few starts ago. Like, this guy's, I thought about laddering him up, but every time I've laddered someone recently, it hasn't gone well. And I'm going to have to talk to Steve Fezzik tomorrow on the show, and I won't have to defend myself about laddering a prop.
The other one I'm noticing is, like, man, he pretty consistently, I mean, doesn't go super deep into games, but he goes
6 innings.
He goes 6 innings pretty damn consistently.
You have to pay a lot of juice to get the over 17 and a half outs recorded on him, though. The books know that. I think it was like minus 170 when I looked earlier this morning, which I don't.
Yeah, it's
to lay it on a prop. I'm not the most I'll go is like 150-ish range if I really love it. But if that doesn't come home, because you start missing 2 or 3 of those, think about how many you have to make up ground on down the road to pay for that mistake.
Yeah, that's sorry if you mentioned this already, but that is eight starts in a row where he's been 6 innings or longer.
He's a stud. I actually don't understand. Like, I get pitchers winning the NL Rookie of the Year. It's difficult, but I do think he's making a pretty strong case. I did neglect this. This is my fault. I forgot the Orioles game was starting. I am currently sweating out a bet in the second inning. I'm on the Orioles first 5. I threw this up at VSiN.com/picks a few hours ago. Orioles first 5, minus a half run, minus 130. We'll see how this plays up, but Ryan Johnson stinks. He has a 9.55 road ERA. That game is currently going on. The only other official play I have right now, and I might add more later on, is we're going to go later in the slate. Detroit's at Seattle. I am a big Bryce Miller fan, but I'm actually going to fade him today. Give me the Tigers and Framber Valdez plus 116. Now, Framber's off a good start at the A's, but the A's have been really bad lately. 7 innings, 2 earned, 6 strikeouts. Seattle is horrendous against lefties. They're bottom 2 in the league in OPS against southpaws on the season. Framber comes to town, and this is one of those spots where I'm going to try to use something that is not actual sports and is more of an angle with motivation to find a bet, because that's worked out for me in the long run. And that is, Tarek Skubal is gone. Framber Valdez was signed in the offseason. to somewhat replace Skubal in anticipation of this trade going down with him in a contract year, it's time for Framber Valdez to step up. The Detroit Tigers are a team that can still make the playoffs. And if Framber pitches like he has in the past, when he was a legit ace, Detroit can do that. So I'm going to assume he starts stepping up here in a good matchup against the Seattle offense that I don't trust, especially against lefties. I'll take that plus price at plus 114.
All right, like it. What else you got today?
That's it for the baseball.
Okay.
How are we looking with the golf?
We're okay. Tom Kim could have made that. Would have been nicer. It looks like Tom Kim's going to finish 5 under for his round. He was one of the outright bets I had. The other two have not teed off yet, in case you are interested. Hideki Matsuyama and Emiliano Grillo both have not begun their first rounds at the Wyndham Championship. Right now, it is Bo Hostler at 8 under par, I believe is what he's just moved to with a birdie. Yeah, 8 under par through 17. He is your leader out there on the course. Matty Schmid, Denny McCarthy, and Davis Thompson all at 6 under, and then a big group at 5 under. So 3 outrights, Tom Kim just finishing his round, Hideki and Emiliano Grillo starting here in the next like 20, 30 minutes. So be quick if you do want to join me on here. Top 10s on Hideki as well. I have first round leader bets on Hideki and Emiliano Grillo as well. So if you want to get involved, those guys have not begun their rounds yet. Ben Cole's, I believe Blades Brown is out there already. No, Blades Brown hasn't started yet either.
Hall of Fame game tonight in the National Football League. It's the Panthers and the Cardinals. Steve Mackinnon with a great write-up at VSiN.com with the trends for the Hall of Fame game specifically. This opened 36 and a half. What did I say? We were down to 35, I want to say. Was it 34 circa? Is that what it was? After I saw it move and you didn't?
We have a prominent offshore at 33.
I'm telling you, we're going to get below 33. I'm telling you, we're going to get below 33. Right. That is my vibe, or at least at 33. At 36 and a half, though, that was the highest posted total since 2012. Underdog, 7-4 straight up, 8-2-1 against the spread since 2013. The over's on a 4-0 run after going 7-2 to the under before that. And posted totals of 34 or higher are 6-1 to the under. I'm doing this because this one's a really tough one to predict. I went with the same game parlay. We're going to go for fun, okay? Funsies. We're going to go over in the first half, 17 and a half. We're going to go game under 35. That pays 4-1 for me. And I wanted to add this. I placed my first NFL bet of the regular season. It's officially in the book.
Game bet. Okay, what you got?
Week 1, Falcons and the Steelers. Can you guess what I did with this game?
Ooh, I have no idea. Hold on. Over?
Under 41
under,
and a half.
Okay.
It's Aaron Rodgers, who can't move.
I probably would have guessed that if we didn't have all these Falcons defensive injuries here the past couple of days.
I also don't believe in Tua. I think it's going to be two conservative game plans between two new head coaches. But I would caution anyone who's like, oh, it's a good play. I want to tell it. It's my play that I like. But I was on the Falcons Steelers, I think it was 2 years ago, week 1 under. And I believe that game went over with Justin Fields going off at Mercedes-Benz. I don't trust either quarterback here. I don't think either of them can really push the ball downfield and make big plays.
Yeah, it's a good call. Now you got me staring at the week 1 lines. I haven't made any bets yet, man. There are a few. There are multiple though that I've highlighted months ago or whatever these came out that I'm still interested in. Bills Texans. This is probably worth bringing up right now because if you are a teaser player like I am, I'm looking at 1.5s on both sides. Bills laying 1.5 on the road at Houston. Houston laying 1.5. Yeah, that's interesting. And I think there are some good teaser partners for week 1. Jags hosting the Browns. They're out to like 7.5-point favorites. I think that could be a nice combination there.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start betting some of the college football right now. Some of the NFL. Just want to see if I can beat some of these. A lot of them have moved already.
Yeah, that's what's tough.
So you might be too early waiting for that late movement, but I'm going to start getting some of these bets in here because the numbers have been up there and available for us, and we're starting to focus on the football. I'm really considering, before we get out of here, the Dolphins' worst record, plus 350. I don't see how it doesn't happen, which means there's no way it's going
to
happen.
Well, to me, it's the Cardinals lose. So I'm like, I just bet both of them. You're still getting like, it's like plus 125 if you bet both of them.
I think the Dolphins are so better much worse. And I think the Dolphins are so offensively tanking in a way that we haven't seen this side of the NBA. Like, they're intentionally throwing out a loser. The roster stinks on purpose.
Yeah. I think they're doing it. I think they're doing a good job with it, though. Like, hey, let's see what Malik Willis has. We get to be one of those teams that actually gets to say that, and we don't really know.
In today's sports, if you're not winning, you better be losing. The last thing you want to be doing, if you want to be losing, is winning a little. You want to lose a lot. Guarantee you get the best pick possible. Yep. The best picks possible are coming your way next. Prop Points, Nick Whalen, Brandon Kravitz, they take over. Then you get Money Moves with Stormy and JVT, followed by Mitch and Paul, and Follow the Money. For Kelly, I'm Dustin. See you next time.